Glory to God. God is so good. I'd like for you to turn to Jeremiah. Go to the book of Jeremiah, which is in the Old Testament. Most of you know that, but I'll just tell you anyway. And we're going to begin with a verse here. We're going to talk about the power of God. Does our God have any power?
Yes.
Yes, he definitely does. And many of us have gone through life seeing the power of God. I have. I've seen the Lord heal people. I've seen the Lord do miraculous things. And I know God is a faithful God, and he is a God of power. So let's bow our heads, and we're going to ask the Lord to bless this word to our hearts. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a powerful God. We thank you that you care about us and that you're working all the time in our life. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for all the past that you have kept us, that you have watched over us, Lord God. And we just believe you that you will just bless this word to our hearts and that we will really learn in our lives to just trust in the living God. Father, I pray you'll bless each individual here today, Father. Give us victory and strength and hope through your word. In Jesus' holy name, glory to God. We're going to begin reading in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. We're not going to read a whole bunch here, but we're going to read this portion. We're going to begin with verse 10. Praise the Lord. Jeremiah 10, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God, an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. That's going to happen. It's going to happen in this world today. Very soon, Jesus Christ is going to come back, and the wrath of God is going to be upon this world. Let's read verse 11. Thus shall you say unto them, the gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under these heavens. He, speaking of God, God our God, he hath made the earth by his power. Remember what he did? He spoke it. Be done, and it was done. By his power he made the earth. He has established the world by his wisdom, and he hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttered his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth, and he makes lightning with rain, and he brings forth the wind out of his treasures. Just think of the mighty God that we serve. Praise the Lord. He's a God that can do anything. And as we pray and believe in him to help us with whatever it is that we're going through, our Lord is going to help us. He is a faithful God. Praise the name of Jesus. I also wrote in my notes here, which I write out, that Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do you believe this? I wrote. Do you believe that he's the God that can help us, that he has his power? Praise the Lord. He has the power that is able, hallelujah, to help us. The power. And I was thinking about how in the case of Jesus Christ coming to this earth as a little babe, remember Mary, the mother of Jesus, how the angel came to her and told her that little Jesus would be born. And she said, well, how will that happen? I don't even know a man. She says, I don't know anything like that. And the Lord said there in Luke 1:35, the power of the highest shall come upon you, and you will be conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it says there in Luke 1:35. Now, the word power in the New Testament means a force, and it means a miraculous power. That's what that means in the Greek of the New Testament. So when we think about the power of God, remember that He has this great and mighty force that is going to help us when we seek Him. He tells us to seek after Him and that He will come and meet our needs. Let's look in our Bible to John, the book of John, and we're going to look at the first chapter of John. And we're going to read from verse 1 down to verse 3. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now this word, Word, is actually referring to the Lord Jesus Christ that is there at the right hand of God. "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." He was there, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, of the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And notice what it says in verse 3. "All things were made by Him, and without Him there was not anything made that was made." The Lord Jesus Christ, all things were made by Him and without Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him we were all things created that are in heaven and in earth." Isn't that amazing? So He had a lot of power, didn't He? Jesus Christ had power, even when He was here on the earth, to heal the sick and raise the dead. And when He was there in John 10, let's look at that while we're here in John the 10th chapter. We heard in our message for Sunday school this morning about the Lord and His healing power and how He went about healing people that were blind and people that were crippled and dead. He raised the dead. And so notice what He says here in this 10th chapter and the 17th verse. Pardon me, 10:17, pardon me. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I may take it again." Do you think that's the first time that His Father ever loved Him? No, that wasn't the first time He loved His Son so much. The only begotten Son of God, He loved Him so much, and yet He sent Him down here to lay down His life for us. He had to drain Himself of the power and give into God's power. The Lord Jesus Christ could have just said, when they had Him there in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was praying and they were coming to get Him, He could have just said, "Father, I'm not going through with this." And everything would have been totally changed. But the Father had agreed to this, and he was laying down His life. Praise the Lord. So the second thing we're going to look at is the power of the resurrection, and that's right here in the same chapter that I'm reading from, John 10. Again, we're going to read in verse 17. He says, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father." There is that word now, power. I have power, because as I already previously said, He could have just said it's enough. But He did not do that. He stayed with the plan. He gave us salvation through His death. All of the other things that come because He died for us. Healing for our bodies. All of the things that we can think of. The times that He just comes in and puts His arms around us and tells us everything is okay. Praise the Lord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. That's the power that Jesus had in His resurrection. 2 Corinthians 13:4 says this, "For though He was crucified through weakness, yet He liveth by the power of God." That is so true. He wasn't resurrected by His own strength. God the Father raised Him from the dead. God the Father sent an angel down there, didn't He? Praise the Lord. To witness the power of God that was going to raise Him from the dead. That verse also says, well, when you look up the word power, it means miraculous power. See, I have some power, you have some power, but God has miraculous power. Things that are is not capable. We can't do it in ourselves. A lot of things, like we can't heal the sick in ourselves. But we know our Lord can. We've had some marvelous healings in this meeting, and the Lord is faithful. So it says, for we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Paul was talking to those Corinthian people. He said, you've got the power of God with you. You've got the strength of God to help you. See, that's what that means. Look in Philippians 3. Turn in your Bible to Philippians 3, and we will read verse here. This is amazing to me as I started studying this, how many times we see this mentioned about the power that's present for us. And we need that, don't we? Do any of you feel weak sometimes? I tell you, when I felt weak, you'll laugh. Yesterday, I heard a noise in my house. I heard a noise of water squirting, and I thought it was my washer running over because I was running it. And I went back there and went into the back bathroom, and water was squirting all over the place, and water was about this deep. It covered the carpet out in the bedroom, everything. Whoa, it was a terrible mess. So that was the power of the house, not doing the right thing. But we have power that is much greater than that in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here at Philippians 3:10. Paul was saying that he wanted to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a very special way. Paul was, he was killed. He was crucified, not crucified, but his head cut off by the Roman government. And so he was very faithful. And in this verse, he's saying that he wants the power of the resurrection to be there from the Lord Jesus. He says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Praise the Lord. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the, and in the original it says out resurrection, and to the out resurrection of the dead. And so this was what the Apostle Paul, the power of the resurrection. What is the power of the resurrection? The power that God is going to one of these days resurrect us right out of the grave. If we are in the grave, he's going to take us out because we know Jesus as our Lord. Our spirit will already be in the Lord's presence, but he will come and he will resurrect it, all those who believe, and bring them right into a new body, a special, wonderful new body that he's preparing. Ephesians 1:17 through 20. Let's go back to the book of Ephesians. I was amazed, like I said, how many times this is mentioned, that it was his power. His power. We have a God that's full of power, and he can do anything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read from chapter 1, verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. He has to put that word in there twice in that one verse. His power, the exceeding greatness of his power to usward. This is to you and me. This is the God we have. This is the Lord Jesus that we have, that provided everything when he died on the cross. It's to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. So it's not that it's just there. He's working all the time with this mighty power. Hallelujah. In our lives, you and I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for the power of God. Praise the name of Jesus. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave us the power. We didn't save ourselves. Now, there are a lot of people that go around trying to save themselves. If I do so-and-so, if I'm really good, if I, you know, say a number of prayers or whatever, that's going to save me. But we realize we're saved by the power of God, by our faith in him. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, unto the Jews first and also to the Greek. This is the way that salvation comes, through the power of God. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 1:18, very same power in the gospel message. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You'd be amazed at how many times he says that. The power of God. He wants us to emphasize that. It is not how good I am. It is not how much I read the Word of God. If I must depend totally upon the power of God, his strength. The next thing I want to talk about is the power that is manifested when he sent the Holy Spirit. Let's look in the book of Acts, chapter 1. What did Jesus say? He told them when he was going to be going in this chapter 1. If you haven't read this, read it at home. He told them that he was going to be going back to heaven, and he told them that he was going to send the Holy Spirit to be with them. And we are going to read from verse 7. He says, he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive the power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Notice that word power there, that was twice. And in that text just before, the Father who has put it in his own power. So who has the power to give us the power? The Father. The Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the power. Jesus told him, he said, you go and wait here in Jerusalem, like I've told you, and you are going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. And that was so true. They were scared. They didn't know what to think. When Jesus was crucified, some of them went and hid in a place so they could be away. They finally saw Jesus resurrected, and they were glorifying him, and they were praiseful, but goodness sake, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be here anymore. I'm going to be leaving. And right there, we find in this place right here, in verse 10, while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And see, Jesus had just left. That's in verse 9. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. That was hard. Wasn't it? But praise the Lord, hallelujah, that the power of God was given to them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the fifth thing I want to look at is the power in our lives. And go to 2 Corinthians. I know this is like a scripture scramble, but you know what? You probably need it. All of us get used to not turning and reading things a lot of times, and when we get to the place where we really have to look, well, it's good. We used to have those games when I was a child, the scripture scrambles, and that really helped us to learn where the Word of God, where to look. Okay, here in 2 Corinthians 6, this is speaking about the power that God wants to have in our life. And we're going to look at verse 7. He says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. He's naming different things here. As he started out in verse 3, he says, give no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, labors, in watchings and fastings, in pureness by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, and by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, and by the power of God. So, I ask you this question. How are you going to be an overcomer? By the power of God. That's the only way that we are going to be overcomers in Christ. What is an overcomer? That's a person that goes through something really terrible, and the Lord is there, and they depend on the Lord, and they keep going on with the Lord regardless. They keep trusting in God regardless. That is overcoming. That is really what overcoming means. Things are better when everything's real easy, but it isn't easy. Life is not easy. God allows these trials. Why? Why? I could ask that. Why? He allows the trial to teach us different things that he wants us to learn. Ephesians 3:7 said, I was made a minister. This is Apostle Paul again. According to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. It was amazing how many times this word comes up. Paul says, I'm not preaching out here because I'm some good guy or that I'm better than everybody else or I'm just so smart. That's not why I'm here. He said, the grace of God is given to me by an effectual working of God. God. Think about Apostle Paul. Who was he anyway? A terrible man. A man that went about killing Christians and arresting them. And God knocked him down on the road to Damascus and said, hey, you know, I'm up here. And Paul says, Lord, what can I do to be saved? Praise the Lord. Isn't that a beautiful thing? 2 Peter 1:3. According to the divine power that hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How do we get the good things? How do we have a good life and we have godliness? We have the blessing of God on us from the divine power. It is the divine power, isn't it? Like I said, it isn't something we do or something we beg for. It's that we yield our life to God and let him take care of us. And he's so, so faithful. He is so, so faithful. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And we're going to read with verse 42. This is going to happen. What it's talking about here is going to happen one of these days. Some of our loved ones are already in the grave, aren't they? They've gone to be with the Lord. Their body's in the grave. Their spirit is with the Lord. But one of these days, we may be called to go away too. And we're going to be instantly when we go, our spirit will be with God. Praise the Lord. We're going to read with verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. See, our body might be put into the grave. But praise the Lord. When the Lord calls, our spirit will already be with the Lord. We know Jesus. But then if we are called to be with the Lord when he comes back again, there'll be incorruption. That old body will be all gone, and it'll be a new body. That's what incorruption is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It is sown in dishonor. Sometimes that is true, you know, when our body is put in the grave, might be in dishonor. But it is raised in glory. Those of us that know Jesus, it's going to be glory. It is sown in weakness, which means feebleness and frailty, but it is raised in power, dynamite, power. What's going to raise this body? The power of God. It is sown a natural body, and it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. Praise the Lord. The power of God is what's going to resurrect us from this life. And even as we all know, those of us who are alive and remain, this is from 1 Thessalonians, the second chapter, tells us that those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with the Lord, and we shall forever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Have one more verse here. Ephesians 3:19 says that, talks of, let's go there and look at it. It says, the power that works in you. All right, we're expecting to have the power of God when we pass from this life, or if we are here and waiting for the Lord to come when he does come in the clouds and we see him that way. But look in this chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 19. We know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. The power of God that works in us. What is working in our life? It's the power of God. How faithful he is. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. In chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How strong is our God? Is he just a little old character that doesn't hear our cries and doesn't do anything to help us when we pray and all of that? Oh, absolutely not. He is a mighty God, a wonderful God who is always there with us in all of our needs and times of trouble, always. And he is the God that is going to just take us from this earth one of these days. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. The trumpet is going to sound. And we have definite signs of the end right now. Have you ever seen such a mess as the United States is? And all of the terrible crime and all the stuff that's going on in the whole world. The terrible, terrible happenings in the world where storms are hitting places and knocking things. And I'm just amazed at the news all the time. It's like getting ready for the 7 years of tribulation is what it's doing. I believe Jesus is going to come any time. Turn with me one more verse. We're going to go back to Psalms, and we're going to look at chapter 29 of Psalms. We're going to read one little verse, but a very meaningful little verse. This is verse 4. I want you to remember this. Let's read verse 3. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Oh, praise God. The voice of the Lord is powerful. He is a faithful Lord. Glory to the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.